Greetings, and welcome to the Monsanto Business Update. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Lee Quarles with Monsanto. Thank you, Mr. Quarles. You may begin.
Thank you, Kevin, and good morning to everyone on the line. Thanks for joining us for this call related to today's announcement with the Climate Corporation. I'm joined today by Kerry Preet, Monsanto's Executive Vice President of Global Strategy, and David Friedberg, Chief Executive Officer of the Climate Corporation. In addition, Monsanto's Ted Crosby and the Climate Corporation's Greg Smirn will be joining us for the Q&A portion of the call. We'll use this call to provide you with more information about the announcement. Following some brief remarks from both Kerry and David, we'll then open the call back up for your questions. As a reminder, we'll be recording this call and we'll post a copy of the recording on Monsanto's website at www.monsanto.com. Now, let me turn the call over to Kerry.
All right, good morning to everyone on the line and thanks, Lee, for that introduction. Today, we announced a major investment in agriculture innovation through our agreement to acquire the Climate Corporation. I can tell you we're really excited about this opportunity to work with this incredible team and deliver new value to farmers, regardless of their farm size, what crops they grow, and how they grow those crops. Let me start with describing why the Climate team and their work represent a very important addition to our business, to agriculture, and to the products available to farmers. Let me begin with the context of why we feel the Climate team will be a valuable partner. I look at this through really three lenses. First is the challenges facing agriculture. Second, the role of innovation in meeting those challenges. And third, the transformative role that data science can play in agriculture. 5 years ago, as many of you are aware, we set ambitious goals of working to double yields in our key crops by 2030. And we committed to doing this on one-third, with less resources per unit of output. We saw this as a key contribution to supporting the sustainability in agriculture, as well as improving the lives of the people that we serve. At that time, we said central to our goals was to improve crop production through the use of plant breeding, through the use of biotechnology, and through the use and ability to improve agronomics on the farm, including innovations that can be delivered through data science and insights that data science can provide. Just as data sciences provide insights that are transforming other industries like manufacturing, the medical industry, transportation, and several other industries, we see the potential innovations around data science that will help farmers meet the rapid growing global demand for the crops that they produce. Many of you are aware of these statistics, but you know our global population continues to grow at a rapid pace. We're adding about 200,000 people a day to the planet. And if you look out towards 2050, we would expect we're going to add at least another 2 billion people to the planet at that point. Not only, obviously, is the number of people growing, but the world's population is becoming wealthier. People are moving into the cities at an unprecedented pace. And as a result, diets are changing. People are demanding more protein, more vegetable oil, more vegetables. And at the same time, the growers that have been growing these crops are facing increasingly steeper and steeper challenges, including, you know, scarcity of water, more volatile weather. And, you know, we're seeing now that the ability to add land at the pace we've done in the last decade is not possible. So all those are challenges that a farmer faces. So in light of these pressures and the need to increase production, farmers around the world are going to be asked to produce more on their existing footprint of land while at the same time minimizing the impact on the environment. And for these reasons, as we look at it as an agriculture company, innovation is going to become more important than ever. As we step back and look at the advancements in agriculture have already played a really important role in boosting productivity and reducing agriculture's footprint. For example, if you just look at corn in the United States over the past 30 years, we've seen corn yields grow by more than 60% per acre. At the same time, we've reduced land use for corn production by 30%, cut soil loss, reduced the amount of irrigated water, and cut greenhouse gases by several magnitudes. So this is great progress, but you know, given the global demands, there's much more work to do. And that's where we think data science, and specifically our partnership with the Climate Corporation, can make a real difference. Farmers, as I've talked to farmers, not only here in the United States, but around the world, they already gather a tremendous amount of information about their farms, the environment, the weather, the soil, and so on, and they're gathering more data all the time. If you think about it through a farmer's lens, they're making 40 decisions or so every year on every field. And increasingly, we understand that data management is vital to a farm to function today. And that's what we hear from farmers all the time, is I've got a tremendous amount of data. What I need is help deciphering that and turning that into insights that can help the decision. And so that's where it comes back to the Climate Corporation and why we believe they're a natural partner to work with us in support of our farmer customers and the goals of making agriculture more sustainable. So we believe there's a natural synergy between the Climate Corporation and what they do and our integrated farming systems business, and right down to our Field Scripts product, which provides prescription-based recommendations on the farm, specifically focused on seeding rate. So we see the synergy between the Climate Corporation and our broader row crop and vegetable customers in the seasons ahead. And beyond our sharing our shared commitment to delivering new innovation based on this data science, we also believe, and this is a mutual belief between ourselves and the Climate Corporation, that data privacy and data security must be a top priority. And we understand that this is vitally important to our farmer customers. And we also understand that our farmer customers have the right to decide whether to provide information to us and how to use that information to develop products for them. So by partnering in the right way with the right priorities for our customers, we believe that data science has tremendous potential to boost productivity, to conserve resources, and help meet the world's growing demand for food, feed, and fiber. And together with the partners that we're going to have and work with, as we've done with our other technologies, it helps us address the real challenges facing agriculture and our planet as a whole. So with that, I'm going to turn the call over to David.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. And good morning, everyone. I'd like to start by sharing a little about the Climate Corporation for those of you who aren't familiar with us. My colleagues and I founded our business back in 2006. Early on, we began assembling a great team of software engineers and data scientists from Google and other Silicon Valley technology companies. And the team has grown quite substantially since. As we started the business, we knew that we wanted to make a difference in agriculture. The most common profession in the world is farming. More people wake up each day to farm than do anything else. And doing so is becoming more difficult, as Kerry mentioned, as the population grows, natural resources become more limited, and the weather becomes less certain. I truly believe that what we set out to do back in 2006 is more impactful than most companies of our size would dare to dream possible. And I'd have to admit that I really haven't slept much for the past 7.5 years. I know a lot of my colleagues feel the same way. But the journey's been exciting, and I'm thrilled about the incredible future we have to celebrate today. So what do? Our business's mission is focused on helping farmers around the world protect and improve their farming operations with our unique software and risk management products. So I'm going to start by just describing our three major technology competency areas, and then we'll talk a little bit about our products. So the first technology competency is in what we call hyperlocal weather monitoring. In order to provide accurate assessments of field level and within the field environmental conditions, we've developed technologies that incorporate dozens of public and private environmental observation networks and remote sensing systems, coupled with various proprietary and public models to try to accurately and remotely assess the weather, soil, and other environmental conditions on the farm. Our second major technology competency is in simulating the weather. This is a technology that dates back to our founding, but since those days, we've expanded our climatology research and modeling capabilities to include a full range of full-season probabilistic forecasts of the weather at a very high resolution. Our climatology team incorporates long-range trends in the climate, current conditions of the weather, weather forecasts, and various climate signals to try to deliver a dynamic, probabilistic weather simulation system that's updated several times per day. And finally, our third major technology competency, we believe, is our unique capability in agronomic modeling that allows us to predict farm-level outcomes based on weather events, farming practices, and other key variables. And this competency represents the intersection of agronomy, data science, and several other disciplines. And we think that we're fairly unique in this area of research and development. Data-driven agronomic modeling allows us to, for example, predict the yield at a given field based on different weather outcomes, planting dates, soil type, and crop farming practices. And it also allows us, for example, to estimate how changes in farming practices or inputs could affect the yield or the operating costs of the farmer. These technology competencies form the basis of our platform that powers our three major product areas. The first is crop insurance, the second is weather insurance, and the third is our web and mobile software tools that help farmers make better decisions. Together, these tools help farmers protect and optimize their operations. So our crop insurance and weather insurance products are delivered to farmers through a network of independent insurance agents throughout the United States. Crop insurance protects farmers against yield and commodity price volatility, and weather insurance complements and supplements crop insurance with our very unique, fully automated, weather-specific triggers that help farmers lock in higher levels of profits. And through our web-based and mobile software tools, we're helping farmers optimize their operations. These tools include up-to-the-minute data for field-level monitoring, yield forecasting, crop insights, and what we call decision support recommendations. Farmers utilize these tools on tablet PCs or smartphones, enabling them to take advantage of the value they provide wherever they go, whether to the coffee shop in town or the cab of their farm equipment. Today, farmers, as Kerry mentioned, have access to so much information, from yield data to soil information, and they tell us that they just don't know how to get value from all that information. We recognize that data is just another commodity, but the insights you can provide from that data can make every moment and every decision count on the farm. The ability to turn complex information into actionable insights and provide real-time management decisions is vitally important for agriculture around the world. It can greatly benefit farmers regardless of their farm size or their preferred farming methods, as Kerry noted. We think that we're at a very important point in agriculture. We're entering a new chapter of innovation ahead as data becomes more ubiquitous and farmers begin embracing online services. The ability to better understand and interpret environmental and agricultural data will help farmers optimize yields through smarter seed genetics, planting rates, and other decisions. And that's why we're looking forward to working with Monsanto. In the first couple of meetings with the company, I was surprised and taken aback. All the people we met were passionate scientists trying to do good things for the world, and they had an unbridled passion and intellect, which I had only ever seen at two companies before, both of where I had worked, Google and the Climate Corporation. Over the last several months, as we've learned more about the history and the work of Monsanto, we came to realize just how passionate these people are about helping farmers make more food and pushing through the existing boundaries of science, delivering great discoveries in genomics, agronomic science, breeding, and now the emerging world of data science. As the Monsanto team shared with us the challenge that farmers around the world are facing, whether they be large corn and soybean producers in Brazil and Argentina, or small-scale vegetable producers in India, or subsistence farmers in Africa, we were excited about the opportunity to partner. And that's when we really struck a resonant chord. We understand that our science and engineering competencies together can help farmers all over the world improve and protect their operations. And that will ultimately help increase food production for all the world's people. Both teams share a common vision for the future of ag and the role of innovation, and we believe we can jointly deliver new value to farmers and the people they serve. So let me turn the call back over to Lee.
Thanks, David. Kevin, we'd like to now open the call for questions. If folks would just identify their name and outlet, that would be great, and we'll take time for the questions now.
Great. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing those star keys. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question today is coming from David Kessmodel from the Wall Street Journal. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, I was wondering if you could speak to how many farmer customers Climate Corp has today and any growth targets Monsanto has going forward.
This is Dave Friedberg. So, you know, what we've said on this is that we have thousands of farmer customers across many millions of acres in the United States. With respect to growth targets, we try and be as aggressive as possible. You know, we have three products, as I mentioned before, our crop insurance, our weather insurance, and our software tools. And so there are different growth targets associated with each. But again, there's still quite a lot to realize that we might be able to do from a distribution perspective in partnership with Monsanto, and we have a lot of work to do to figure that out.
And the only thing I'd add to David is we see in the near term, as you know, we're very excited about our FieldScript product that we launched this just a couple weeks ago. That FieldScript in corn through variable rate can, you know, improve yields 5 to 10 bushels an acre. We think immediately with David's team's ability to add additional insight to the robust data set that we can improve the amount of yield and the success that farmers are having. So we want to try to incorporate that as soon as we can into that field script capability.
We'll take the next question.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Jack Caskey from Bloomberg News. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Actually, if I could have two, just to clarify, David, your answer to the last question. You said you're on many millions of acres in the U.S., and Hugh Grant said on the conference call just before this that you're on 1 million acres. So if you could clarify why the company who acquired you thinks you're on far less acres than you are. And then on this notion that you're going to improve yields, or Grant says you can improve yields, or data can improve yields by 50 bushels per acre in corn, can you sort of talk through how you see that unfolding in terms of when we could potentially see a 50 bushel yield improvement, and maybe any interim steps? Any interim timing?
Yeah, so we do have several million acres of customers using our products across all of our product lines.
Can you get more precise, I'm sorry? Within several million, since Hugh said 1 million.
Yeah, so I can't be more precise than that. Across all three of our products, again, the weather insurance, crop insurance, and our software tools, mm-hmm. we have several million acres of our farmer customers. And, you know, we're just not in a position to break apart the acres by product. With respect to yield improvement, there's a lot of research that goes into this. And so the best that one can do prior to actual field testing and implementation, which is going to take time to realize the benefits from, is modeling and building you know, some sort of estimations around this work. Yeah. With respect to corn, you know, we do believe that we can get in the range of 30 to 50 bushel equivalent of net improvement to farmers' productivity with the tools. So if, for example, you were to look, as Kerry mentioned, at all the different decisions that a grower might be making during the season, and you made the assessment of what is the average grower's decision relative to the optimal decision, and you try and quantify what the impact would be if they made the optimal decision that you would be able to predict for them, you can, in aggregate, estimate a 30 to 50 bushel yield improvement based upon our current assessment of the models and the data that we have. And so we're certainly not there today, and we have a lot of work to do to demonstrate that with growers in the field, but that's definitely a significant and a very real objective for us.
And you know, Jack, just to add to that, this is Kerry. You know, several years ago, you know, when we talked about our doubling yield commitment, you know, we said that going from 150 to roughly 300 bushels in the U.S. in corn, you know, a third we thought could come from plant breeding, a third through innovations that can be brought by biotechnology, and a third from agronomics. And this squarely fits in that flywheel. If you take it a step further and start breaking it down with, you know, our first version of field scripts, you know, we're seeing 5 to 10 bushels just with, you know, managing one variable, and that's planting density. If you think about everything from optimal time to plant all the way through, if you can help a farmer determine if and when and what parts of the field to apply a fungicide, and, you know, you take it to all those decisions, it's not hard to think about, you know, adding, getting to a total of 50 bushels.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to the yield improvement, I'll also point out that optimization of input costs is also a critical factor of the tools that we provide. So there are decisions you can make to improve the ultimate productivity of your land, but there are also decisions that one could make to make sure that you're not, for example, over-investing or applying investments at the wrong time during the season or at the suboptimal time during the season. And that's a big aspect to us. So from a grower's perspective, our objective ultimately is to help that grower improve his bottom line.
And Jack, that obviously speaks to what Kerry was talking about of the commitment to sustainable yield as we look at, you know, reducing things by a third going forward as well. So we'll take the next question, Kevin.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Michael Hickens from the Wall Street Journal. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, gentlemen. I have just two quick questions. One of them is if you could detail, Kerry, perhaps some of the kinds of decisions that farmers are going to have to make other than, you know, say the planting rate, or you just mentioned where to add fungicide. And the other question is, presumably you have relationships with farmers who use DuPont or other seed providers. So how are those relationships going to go forward?
Yeah, no, thank you, Michael, for those questions. You know, as we think and we've mapped out, and coincidentally, our mapping of those, we've said around 40 decisions are very close to Climate Corp independently mapped those, and we came to roughly the same number. But if you think about it through a farmer's lens, so, you know, he'll start, as the combines are rolling through the field right now in the Midwest, they're starting to think about, on every field, you know, what crop I'm going to grow. Is it corn or beans or is it wheat? That's first decision. That can be impacted by, you know, what is the soil moisture conditions? You know, what does the fertility look like? What's the crop rotation look like? Then you get into, once I've made the cropping decision, what's the optimal hybrid or variety selection within that crop? Then you get into decisions like timing of planting based on David's, you know, weather modeling, and again, you know, how that can impact timing of harvest. You move there to the actual planting, and not only do you start to think about soil types and the interaction that exists with the multi-layers of variability in soil, you know, you get into planting rate, planting depth, spacing, and I can carry it on through. Then you go to the same set of decisions. There's four or five decisions around weed management, insect management, disease management. You start to think about the harvest timing. So all of those decisions, or most of those decisions, can have an impact on the ultimate yield. And as David pointed out, getting the most out of every unit of resource. So that's how we map each of these. And we believe that data insight can be used to help a farmer make better decisions. With respect to other companies, as we've taken the approach, Michael, with some of our other technologies, we think this is a technology that we can partner and license to other companies, because it's insight and it's innovation that can help improve yields for farmers, no matter what seed variety or hybrid that they're growing. And we're really excited about, you know, the opportunity to have some of those discussions about this technology.
Good, thank you.
Kevin, we'll go ahead and take the next question.
Sure. Next question today is coming from Greg Horsemeyer from DTN. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, this is a question maybe for Kerry first. This unit will be placed inside the integrated farming systems unit, so it'll be paired up with the precision planning group that you purchased earlier. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Ted to comment on that. Ted leads our IFS, but you know, in a nutshell, we see the Climate Corporation to continue to do what they're doing and continue to expand what they are. They're going to continue to maintain their operation and the people, and you know, what we see is giving them the additional information and data that, you know, we've generated to further optimize their models to grow the business out here. And we actually see the their capability helping us to optimize some of the field script work that Ted and his team are doing. Ted, maybe you want to, if you could add further to that, you're thinking.
Yeah, Ted Crosby, I'm the technical lead for IFS. We think there's magic in Tremont, Illinois, and we think there's magic in San Francisco. And the art here is in getting both of those two magical places to collaborate and work together on how you collect and analyze and manage data and turn data into real decisions that farmers like myself need to make. So we see them as continuing both operations, doing what they do best where they do it, and maybe a few flights between.
Great. Kevin, we'll go ahead and take the next question.
Great. Our next question is coming from Marcia Taylor from DTM. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, I have a question about the privacy concerns that farmers might have. You know, and crop insurance companies may know more about what's going on particular farms than landowners do. So how are you going to protect the information that growers are providing to you?
So this is Dave Friedberg. We have very clear data privacy policies and standards for each of our products. We don't share personal data or information that a grower might provide to us, either as a crop insurance client or the climate.com client. Across these products, you can read our privacy, data privacy and policy and standards on our website. When we do our model development, Marcia, and we do some of our research work, we primarily use aggregated or anonymized scaled data, or use third-party data sources to do that model development work. So we don't take a grower's personally identifiable data or information and use it beyond that.
And, you know, I'd add to that, Marcia, we have a very similar public available, which we, I guess, talked a lot about at Farm Progress. We take data privacy and data security, as David said, very seriously here at Monsanto. And the bottom line, we take the approach on data privacy. It's the farmer's choice of how they want us to use this data. And from a security standpoint, we are using state-of-the-art data security measures to ensure that data, the data we do have from our customers is very, very securely protected.
I also want to provide a little perspective here as well, Marcia. You know, I previous to starting the Climate Corporation worked at Google, and we grappled with the same concerns at Google. We had multiple products that consumers used on a daily basis, whether it be the search product, where, for example, you could see what an individual was searching for on the internet, coupled with email, coupled with calendar. And it was really important to consumers, clearly early on, and Google really set the standard and the model for this, on how to treat that data in an independent and in a secure and in a well-informed way for each of those products independently. So we've learned a lot from our experiences at Google. Google is the largest former employer of folks that work here at the Climate Corporation, and there's a lot of experience that we bring to the table with that background.
At the risk, Marsh, of piling on, we've had many conversations with growers ourselves, you know, over the years. And, you know, one of the things that ultimately, you know, growers will land up with growers on this topic is they say, look, if you can help me make better decisions on my farm, you know, I want to give you all this data that I have, all these yield maps that I've collected, all this yield data I've got, because I need help turning this into insight. And that, you know, at the end of the day, this comes back to our grower customer. What are we doing? How can we help them solve what they believe is the biggest challenge they have today on the farm around data management, turning that into valuable insights?
Kevin, we'll go ahead and take the next question.
Certainly. Our next question is coming from Forrest Laws from Delta Farm Press. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you. Over the last couple of years, we've had some very random weather events, it seems, in a lot of different parts of the country. How well is your software able to anticipate those, and how does it, without giving away secrets or getting too complex, how is it able to factor those situations in?
I'll tell you, I wish that there was a secret, but there isn't. So the weather, generally speaking, is not a deterministic phenomenon. When you try and estimate what the weather will be, you typically need to create probabilistic distributions of those outcomes. And so at the Climate Corporation, we don't create a single outlook for what the weather will be at a particular location. We actually have an ensemble of simulations. It's usually about 10,000 simulations of different weather events and what might happen. And as we build those weather simulations, we look at a couple of things, as I mentioned earlier in my introduction. The first is long-range climate trends. So in some parts of the country, some parts of the Earth, it's getting warmer over time. In some parts, it's getting cooler. In some parts, it's getting warmer during the winter and cooler during the summer. Some parts, it's getting wetter. Some parts, it's getting drier. So there are a lot of different kinds of trends and different manifestations of trends in the weather over time. Whether these are man-made or natural, we don't really care. We're building statistical models to try and estimate the distribution of outcomes in the future. And we are seeing shifts and changes that are occurring. One of the most interesting trends that we're seeing across the board is an increase in the volatility or the distribution spread of those events. And that just means that the weather is becoming less certain and there is less normal weather and more extreme weather. And I think that just underscores why farmers are going to continue to face significant challenges here in the 21st century, as agriculture depends obviously primarily on the weather for successful outcomes. It is becoming much more difficult to have regular successful outcomes.
We'll go ahead and take the next question, Kevin.
Our next question is coming from Carrie Gillum from Reuters. Please proceed with your question. The line of Carrie Gillum is now open.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I had mute on. How quickly do you expect to fully incorporate the Climate Corp data into field scripts, and how do you expect that to impact your pricing? I think you've put that now at $10 an acre.
Yeah, Ted Crosby here, IFS lead. We've been working on field scripts for the past number of years, assuming basically normal weather. So when you look at a prescription of any sort for a specific hybrid in a specific farm, in the absence of having climate's weather capabilities, we simply had to assume that it was going to be an okay year. And clearly, that's not the way to optimize field scripts. You really should be tailoring the script right up until the day the farmer executes it, based on the weather, the previous 365 days. And so, in the absence of that, we researched a lot of the field script background leading to the 5 to 10 bushels based on. For corn based on just average weather, and that was the best we could do on that. Our scientists knew full well that wasn't the optimum way to go about it, and that's one of the reasons why we're so excited about partnering with Climate Corp, because they've got the piece of the weather that we didn't have. So we expect that weather adjusted field scripts is really the way to go. It's what we've always wanted to do. And we'll start to work on that in the coming months. The scripts that we're going to launch for this coming planting season probably will be the regular scripts that we're currently using, but certainly by this time next year, we expect to do something more comprehensive.
Hey, Carrie, and just one other thing, as you know, will this acquisition also has to go through regulatory approval, and so that's another thing just to keep in mind as we move forward on that.
So you're thinking this time next year, probably, but what about pricing?
You know,
how valuable is that? Does that double your price opportunity?
We haven't announced this yet, but we do have a paid version of our climate.com offering that we'll be announcing next month. And so when that happens, we'll be sharing more information about what's going to be included in that service, what the price point of it is, and the features and the distinction from field scripts.
Yeah, and, you know, Carrie, just to further to your question on, you know, the current field script, we'll go through a series of assessments this year, Ted and his team and his scientists understand how much more yield in addition to the variable rate planting impact we'll have, and then we'll do what we've been doing now for the last several years is going into this mindset of sharing this incremental yield with growers, you know, with the growers getting, you know, more than two-thirds of that value.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. We'll go ahead and take the next question, Kevin.
Yes, our next question is coming from David Kessmodel from the Wall Street Journal. Please proceed with your question.
Just two follow-up questions. Number one, can you share any information on the Climate Corporation's current annual revenues? And then second question, and you've addressed it somewhat, but just for the layperson, I'm trying to understand the different distribution models here. In what way will the Climate Corp products be sold to farmers, and in what way is Field Scripts sold to farmers?
This is Dave Friedberg. We are not in a position to disclose our revenues. With respect to distribution, we sell our products today primarily through a network of independent crop insurance agents throughout the United States. I think there are roughly 11,000 of those agents in the U.S., and you know we try and work with those that are trying to be high value add for their grower customers. Going forward, we're going to continue to partner closely with those agents. They're critical. They're trusted advisors to their growers, and we try and help make them successful with our technology and with our product set. Whether there are additional channels for us to take advantage of with Monsanto is still to be determined. We've got a lot of work to explore there. We certainly don't have any physical presence today in international markets that we would like to expand to, and that's a great opportunity for us to partner with Monsanto on distribution.
Great. Hey, Kevin, we'll just go ahead and close the call. I really want to thank everybody for joining us today and taking the time to learn more about this exciting announcement. I think as we step back and think about this, you know, the world's facing some incredible challenges, adding an additional 2 billion people to this planet. And so Monsanto's commitment to support and grow yield, as well as find more sustainable ways that farmers can do that, is pivotal to our business and to the way that we serve society. We see innovation as a key component of that, and we see that data science represents one of the next major breakthrough frontiers in the agriculture space. And so we're really pleased to have the opportunity to partner with the Climate Corporation. They've got incredible work. They've got incredible people. And I think that together we can bring incredible things to agriculture and the people that they serve. So thank you very much.
Thank you. That does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a wonderful day. We thank you for your participation today.